This is the story of John the Baptist and the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This opening has high energy. It is a proclamation of a new possibility that has never been imagined before. The opening sentence is of great importance for storytelling. The story that is to follow is described as the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the recognition here is that the gospel was a story. It was not a kerygma. It was not a creedal statement. It was not a set of beliefs. It was not a proclamation about a belief system. It was rather a story that was told by various storytellers who then were empowered by the composition of this gospel, which was a drawing together of and a writing down of the gospel, of the stories that were told by Mark and his predecessors. The associations of the Messiah are the anointed ones of Israel. So the most prominent ones were Saul and David, both of whom were anointed by Samuel. They are called Messiahs in the Septuagint, in the Greek translation of the Hebrew text. The word Mashiach is used to describe both Saul and David. And they, in turn, were the predecessors of the anointed ones of Israel, who were the kings, and so on. The associations of this title were then that one was anointed for battle, for the leadership of the armies of Israel. So the hope for a Messiah who would come in the first century, almost 1,000 years after Saul and David, was that one who was anointed by God would come and establish the government of Israel over against the Gentiles, who had ruled over Judea since the time of the Babylonians, with the brief period of the Maccabees, and over the northern kingdom, Israel. Gentiles have been in dominant position since 722, nearly, over 700 years. So the hope for an anointed one who would reestablish the kingdom of David has a long history. The other title that is used is Son of God. There was a significant competition in the first century about who was the Son of God, because the emperors called themselves sons of God. So Augustus was addressed as a son of God. Diocletian, who was the ruler and the other son of Vespasian, the successor of Titus, he called himself God and wanted people addressing him as God. Well, the question of who was the true son of God was then a cultural question as well as a political and religious question. Jesus is then addressed, and his story is introduced as the story of the true Son of God, not the emperor. Jesus' kingdom and its character is foreshadowed by the coming of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a prophet. Jesus is introduced as the son of the prophets, as the successor of the prophets. John the Baptist is then the completion of the prophetic tradition, the last of the prophets, he is often called. And appropriately so, because after John the Baptist, there really were no more prophets in Israel. John is portrayed in this story as being one who is like Elijah. His uniform, coat of camel's hair, that he ate locusts and wild honey, this is a description of Elijah. John then is like Elijah. And one of the predictions about the coming of the Messiah was that Elijah would come back and that he would then lead the way for the Messiah. Thus, when John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness and the telling of this story, it is a fulfillment of that prophecy. Baptism John's sacrament was an eschatological sacrament. It was a once-and-for-all baptism, a once-and-for-all cleansing from sin as a preparation for participation in the kingdom of God. The metaphor that is present in this baptism ritual is the metaphor of preparation for participation in the sacrifices in the temple. In order to enter the temple, in order to participate fully, it was important for you to be clean, for you to be washed. People would go through elaborate ceremonies of preparation for entering the temple. This is John's preparation for entry into and participation in God's kingdom, in God's temple. It's how you get in. Now, the message of John the Baptist and the spirit of this is that John is a supporter. He is a precursor. He is the introducer of Jesus. But he is not introduced as being the main man. He's not the Messiah. This may reflect a competition with a group of Baptists in Mark's time who followed John the Baptist and revered him and who were Baptists. The dynamic of the story is the dynamic of major introductions. In terms of contemporary television, Ed McMahon used to introduce Johnny Carson, you know, every night, and he'd give some information, you know, here we are, NBC in Los Angeles, and here's Johnny. Well, this is John the Baptist saying, here's Jesus. And the introduction of Jesus is as a prophet. He stands in the tradition of Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. There are allusions throughout the gospel to the prophets, to Jesus as a prophet, and to the books of the prophets. They provide the most important background for hearing the Gospel of Mark. Thus, Jesus is presented here as the prophet of the coming kingdom of God, and both John the Baptist and Jesus are ones who predict, who foretell that the kingdom of God will be fully established. This is a great story. There's a lot to it. So when you tell it with, I don't know, gravitas, you know, that this is a big deal, and that this is then the introduction to Jesus, the one whom God has sent to save the world. Specifically, I think, it is to save the world from violence and from warfare, and that that comparison between Jesus and the messiahs of Israel and the emperors of Rome is implicit in this first introduction of Jesus.